It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Imagine one day making the decision to change your career path and give up your life in the Steel City to go to India and live with children at an HIV/AIDS orphanage. That's what Art Institute of Pittsburgh graduate Rocky Brott did. And his best friend from school, Steve Hoover, decided to follow him to India to chronicle his story. The result is the critically acclaimed movie Blood Brother, which won the documentary's Grand Prize and Audience Award at the Sundance Film Festival.
Brother Rocky.
Kids call me Rocky, and Anna basically means big brother.
Rocky.
I was never intending to go to the AIDS orphanage. It was never my plan. I didn't really like kids, to be honest with you. Being there, seeing that they're in despair and they're hopeless, and you're like, man, they're kids. They've been seeing faces their whole lives, just people who are in and out. I can't take any of them out of that situation, but I can put myself into it. And then I made a decision. I was, man, like, I need to move there. I'm going to be suffering all the time. And I think that's fair to be afraid.
I don't want to get close to anyone. I hate being close to people. There's freedom in not being close to anyone because you don't get hurt.
There's like a sense of madness that comes with loving things that can come and go from your life. Especially when you lose people that you planned on loving long term.
Just crazy that you could be trying to do something good and be met with so much opposition.
I think every man or every woman, they want their life to count. Even when I was working at many of my different jobs that I've worked, at the end of the day, I was like, man, this is so meaningless. You know, I was making lots of money, but if I died, like, I wasn't making an impact on anything, really. It bothered me.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes people just think I'm crazy. Times like that, I feel really alone.
When you stay together, you work together, you fight together, you cry together. Hopefully you die together. We all need love.
Blood Brother will be shown as part of this month's Three Rivers Film Festival on Saturday at 4:30 at the Regent Square Theater. I'm joined now in Studio A by the writer and director of Blood Brother, Steve Hoover. Steve, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
And producer Danny Yord, good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks a lot.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Steve Hoover, you were best friends with Rocky Brott, who's essentially this Pittsburgh kid who came from a broken home, had a very difficult upbringing. And he ends up on a career path to being a graphic designer. You both attended the Art Institute of Pittsburgh. But even though Rocky held several good jobs in graphic design, he ends up deciding that he wants to go to India. What prompted this?
Well, you know, Rocky was a pretty adventurous guy. Before ever going to India, he spent time. He lived in L.A. for a while. He almost moved to Alaska. He would take these trips to L.A., rent a car, and drive to Death Valley and get a jug of water and just walk. He lived on the road with his uncle for a while, and he was always just kind of going about. And I've always found his motive for his original trip as sort of a mixed bag. At that time, he was with his graphic design. He was just getting into photography. And what he describes is it was always his hard motive for going was photography. He felt, I think, that India would be a beautiful backdrop with lots of rich content to take photos. But in general, he was also interested in exploring and having these, what he would call, authentic experiences with people and with the culture and things there. So,
and you were best friends with Rocky, and it's difficult when a best friend moves away. You know, it's something we all learn to deal with. But there's something about this guy, Rocky, whose real name is Robin, and we learn in the film that his uncle decides to change his name to Rocky because he feels that that's more of a boy's name. And he's just this charismatic fellow. You could see people being drawn to him. Describe your relationship with him and what it was like to lose his friendship, or at least the day-to-day interaction with him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Rocky and I were really close, as I share in the film. We lived together for 7 years. We shared a bedroom for periods of that time, you know, just talking about our dreams and ambitions and things we wanted to do. And, you know, we had close spiritual connections as well. We just always had been close. We worked together. We went to school together. We just kind of did everything together. And, you know, we'd visit each other's families together as well. You know, he'd come home with me for different holidays or things like that. So it's one of those friendships that you feel you'll always have and that you, in some sense, take for granted. So when he made the decision, when he came back from his first trip and said, I'm moving, I didn't quite take him seriously because he had gone before and come back to Pittsburgh. So I didn't anticipate it to be a permanent decision. I figured he'd kind of burn out and whatever he was doing would get old.
But he was looking for a purpose. What was it?
I feel like I've come to find out was that, you know, his great serving people, serving the kids, being with the kids. But, you know, family was something that I felt Rocky was looking for, and especially in looking into how broken his family is, and it still is. His family still is broken, and he still longs to be connected with them. But I think he found a fulfillment through his relationships with the kids. You know, they also gave him something. They gave him a reciprocated friendship and relationship that he wasn't receiving from his family.
And there's a very serendipitous way in which he ends up with these kids, because Rocky's primary objective is to visit Mother Teresa's home for the dying in Calcutta. But he ends up getting the wrong ticket. And so then the entire trajectory of his life changes.
Well, it wasn't the wrong ticket. Basically, they had planned to make their whole trip in northern India. And Mother Teresa's House of the Dying was just kind of one of the stops they wanted to make. They were going to tour Rajasthan and all of northern India, because that's the exotic side of the country. And when he booked his flight, or when they started looking into flights, Rocky's cheap. Yeah, I'm cheap as well, but he's very cheap. he booked it into Chennai because it was the cheapest, because nobody goes to Chennai for tourism. It just doesn't happen.
It was the right ticket, but an unexpected destination.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and he ends up being with these 30 children in an orphanage, and all of these children have HIV/AIDS. Explain how this gives meaning to Rocky's life as he works with them as a volunteer at this AIDS home. How do he and the children end up bonding?
Mm-hmm. Well, on his initial trip, I think that's where the connection started to happen. And I think that's where Rocky's empathy really started, where he started to realize that empathy for the kids. On the first trip, he explains that a week and a half into it, spending time, they were staying at the orphanage. He and his friend that he was with didn't like it. They didn't like India. They didn't want to be there. And they booked a flight to Australia. And he said, I was going to go spend the summer on the beach. And but by this time, he had already been connecting with the kids, hearing their stories. You know, Rocky's inquisitive. He'll ask people, you know, what are you, you know, where do you come from? Why, you know, whatever, you know, just communicating with the kids, learning about them. And as he said, he just couldn't stand it. He didn't want to deal with suffering, you know, the suffering of the kids and the suffering of himself, you know, in India. He wanted comfort. So he booked the flight, and he and his friend were on their way out, and they felt that they were he felt he was making a mistake.
Rocky did.
Yeah. So he asked his friend, will you stay with me? I feel like we need to go back. And so they canceled their flight, which is a whole story in itself, and lost money, whatever. And then they went back to the orphanage, got off the train, and went back.
Let's listen to a clip from the film in which Rocky describes how he deals with the physical state of these AIDS-addled children in this orphanage. This is, again, part of the documentary Blood Brother.
It was definitely hard in the beginning. You'd have kids come to you and they'd have like sores all over their face. You know, I'm not a blood fan. I'm not a vomit kind of fan. That kind of stuff totally wigs me out. So the kids would come up to me and they'd just expect you to see them and not their sores. And just also seeing how much it hurt the kids, it made them feel even worse. So I had to like overcome that. But it took some time. It took some time to train my mind. Not to see that, but to see the kids where they were.
And that's from the documentary Blood Brother. So a wonderful story is developing, and joining us along with the director of the movie, Steve Hoover, is the producer, Danny Yord. So, Danny, how does this end up becoming a documentary?
For us, Steve actually set out just to kind of do this film himself. You know, he always says he was just kind of revolting against, you know, our commercial filmmaking. It's always very pristine and, you know, the productions are very high end. He just wanted to grab a camera and go. But through hearing Rocky's stories, and, you know, I was Rocky's friend as well when he was in Pittsburgh, knowing him and being able to relate to him as he's in India, myself and a couple other people were just very inspired and wanted to get involved and help. And me and Steve have been working together for quite a long time, so it just kind of made sense. So, you know, we had to fundraise. We had to figure out all these logistics. We're going to a third world country. Most of us have never been to a third world country before. So just really like working through, you know, our heads and through, you know, pre-production, just what we can possibly expect, how we can be as prepared as possible for any sort of challenges or whatever that may come our way.
And for you, Steve, at what point did you have the epiphany that this is an amazing story and we need to find a way to share this with the world?
It definitely wasn't until after some of the experiences. I mean, when everything happened with Vemity in the film, the young girl who dies, that was something that we weren't even considering necessarily putting into the film. So, like, you know, there were dramatic things happening around us, but I didn't actually know what the story was. I knew it was, the focus was on Rocky, and that was my intent. After the second trip, when everything happened with Sudia, that's what, you know, going back and trying to piece together the story, and looking at, that's when I felt that there was something special. And something told me leaving that there were a lot of special things that happened, that something about this is special. I didn't really get it until it was starting to be pieced together. And I didn't know if other people would feel the same. I didn't know if my feelings about it were just that way because I was so connected to the people and to Rocky, and I felt good about it as it started to come together. But I had no idea if other people would respond, you know, to the story.
How were you able to, and I'll throw this out to either Steve or Danny, how were you able to get people to trust you and open up and not only show their suffering but their raw emotions? I mean, we almost literally watched this girl die as in the middle of the documentary, a young girl who has AIDS. There are other sick and dying children. There are grieving parents who are openly weeping and wailing for the loss of their children. And we're seeing an entire village in which people are suffering. And yet they don't shy away from showing this to you. How did you gain their trust?
I think a lot of it had to do with Rocky. He had been living with them. He had been living in the village for a year and a half before we ever came. And he had been spending time with the children at the orphanage as well. Rocky takes a lot of photos for different villagers, for functions that they have, weddings and things like that. And he'll print the photos out and give them to people. So they were very comfortable from the day one with cameras. We'd walk through the village with cameras, and everyone wanted a photo. Everyone wanted – and we'd show them it was actually video that we were taking. But they were just very interested in it. And so we had – it was just one of those things. When they saw us, we had cameras, and we usually would take a photo or a video or something. And everybody has TVs, so they're not, you know, unaware. It's the, kind of the funny thing. It's a very dated village, but everybody in the village, I think, but Rocky, has a TV in their house. The government provides free cable. They say it's population control. But anyway, I don't know if that's
depending
true.
On what you're showing, I guess.
Yeah.
But Danny, was it because you always had cameras with you that they kind of forgot they were there? The cameras and the equipment were there, maybe?
I don't think they forgot they were there. It was really actually like incredible being there and filming, because I felt like, you know, we had this language barrier between us and the villagers. You know, Rocky was kind of like the one person of our group that could speak with them. And the cameras offered like a bridge to connect that. Like, they were very interested, and they always wanted their photo taken, and it really helped us, like, you know, immerse ourselves in with them immediately, rather than like, you know, slowly like trying to communicate with them. It was just a great tool. And I think, you know, they were grateful for it. And, you know, we were grateful for them allowing us to have them part of that.
And that is Danny Yord, who is the producer of the film Blood Brother. We're also talking with the writer and director of the film, Steve Hoover. This is, again, a story that chronicles the journey of a Pittsburgh native to India. He ends up living with children at an HIV/AIDS orphanage there. And let's listen to another clip from the film Blood Brother. Here, Rocky is talking about how close many of these children are to death.
We have to really, really monitor them all the time. They have to get a lot of blood tests, have tons of health food. They got to get tons of rest. Everything can be great. They can look beautiful, clear skin, clear eyes, be happy, be excited. And then the next minute, it's like a train wreck. You know, their skin just flares up. It sores all over their skin. You got to cut their hair. They got to get admitted into the hospital. A sore turns into a, you know, a full-blown infection. A little fever turns into something fatal.
Better, huh?
Yes.
You're nice?
Yeah.
I hate how fragile the situation is. I hate that. Even though I've become family to them, or they've become family to me, I hate the idea of death being able to separate.
And again, that is a clip from the film Blood Brother, about the journey of a Pittsburgh native, Rocky Brott, to India to live and volunteer as a helper to children who are dying from HIV/AIDS. And there are some hairy situations here. We're talking with the writer-director, Steve Hoover, and also the producer, Danny Yord. And Steve, there's one particular scene in the movie where Rocky has his motorcycle and he's trying to transport a girl to the hospital. And the villagers are saying, or the people that are surrounding her are saying, no, don't take her to the hospital. Explain what was going on here and how you've kind of found yourselves in the middle of a difficult situation.
Yeah. So the girl's parents had been bringing her to the temple for 9 days, and she wasn't eating. She actually had typhoid, as far as we understand. And so it was a very curable problem, you know, what she had. We hadn't been passing through the village for 9 days. We didn't even know this was going on, because you can take a shortcut from behind Rocky's house to the orphanage. The orphanage is outside of the village, basically. And so this night we decided to take a walk, and we were coming back through, and Rocky's like, well, why don't we just go see what's going on up in the village? I'm like, okay. And we passed up through and saw a crowd around the temple. And Rocky quickly recognized, obviously, that the girl was very ill. And he was concerned, and he started asking people, and he found out that she had been there for 9 days. And he was like, if we don't get her out of here, she could die. And so he began approaching the family, saying, can we take her to the hospital? And basically this went on for about an hour and a half. There was debating amongst the villagers, because the village was basically divided. There were educated people, like young men who were going to college in the next village over. And they understood the situation, but there were more traditional villagers as well who don't believe in Western medicine. So basically there was some shouting kind of going on, and people trying to figure out what is the best case. Because at this point, everybody recognized that it's really bad, and she wasn't getting better. So long story short, they all ended up agreeing this was okay. They wouldn't have allowed him to take her if the village didn't come to a consensus, basically. And it wasn't the entire village, but there were a lot of people involved. And it was the main people, the temple directors and the sort of village leaders. So they gave permission to allow the parents to take her. And en route, the hospital was only about 15 minutes away, this particular hospital. She died on the way. And it caused people to naturally think, was that the best decision? You know, this Western medicine, was that a faithless decision, basically?
And one scene that illustrates this is when the villagers find out that the kids in the orphanage, that they have AIDS. Apparently, a lot of the villagers did not know, and those who were working at the orphanage did not necessarily want the villagers to know. Mm-hmm. So here's another clip from the film Blood Brother.
The villagers found out that the children were HIV positive. People are uneducated, so they hear HIV and just freak out. The village was very offended. Like, how could you move these people into our village without us even knowing? Like, how could you deceive us like that? That was their words. You endanger our children by putting your children in with them. And they just felt like we didn't ask for this trouble and you brought this into our lives and you expect us to accept that. That's too much. Now everybody knows that they have AIDS, the students, the teachers, so they'll say stupid comments to the kids like, your blood is poisonous and you're sick, you're gonna die, and all this like stuff that just makes the kids feel like garbage. Everyone seemed to start rejecting me. People wouldn't talk to me. No one was coming to my house. My house was like a ghost town. And then I figured out people started to assume because I work in the home that I also have AIDS, so you have to keep your distance from me or you'll get AIDS.
Danny Yord, that was again a clip from the film Blood Brother, and Danny Yord is the producer of the film. What was it like for you to film, you know, your friend Rocky here at such trying times when he's being blamed for something that he already feels horrible about, which is, you know, the fact that these kids are suffering from AIDS, some of them are dying, and he's very alone and not getting support.
Sure. It was definitely difficult at times. You know, with Rocky and even with filming the kids and stuff, you know, we're there behind a camera, so there's always this kind of like feeling of separation as it stands. But just to see and hear a friend that you care about, you know, going through these trials and tribulations and things, it's gut wrenching at times, even, you know, especially because their stigmas there are so dated and they're just undereducated about specific things. So it's just something that could be easily fixed, you know, if there was proper, you know, education and things like that. So it's challenging and, you know, it's continually challenging to see, you know, the challenges that Rocky's faced with.
And for you, Steve, you become almost like a character in the film. There's a lot of you in this film. Was that a conscious decision on your part to kind of take that Michael Moore approach to documentary filmmaking? Or is it just something that was just a very organic evolution?
It was something that was more of an evolution. I didn't set out to put myself in the film, although I did want to address my friendship with Rocky because I felt like it was important. There were kind of pieces. There's not a lot of footage of me in front of the camera because, again, I didn't intend to do that. And the first rough cut of the film had none of me in it, and other than a few pieces, sort of as somebody trying to help explain the story a bit. And whenever we began to build relationships, our first relationship was with an AIDS organization, Red Hot and Arms Around the Child. We had meetings with them, and they really helped us to develop that part of the story and to see that it would be more beneficial for people to kind of take the journey with me. The good thing is that during my time in India, after each day, I would kind of do a log of my experiences, my feelings, and emotions. So I had a lot of resources to kind of tap into. And that stuff was more just for reference, but it ended up being a great great reference to building the narration side of the story.
And the film, Blood Brother, as I mentioned at the outset, it won the documentary's grand prize and audience award at the Sundance Film Festival. There's Oscar buzz being generated about this film. What is your reaction to all of the acclaim that you are receiving?
I try not to let things go to my head or you know, I'm grateful for everything that's happening, but I'm realistic. I know there's no guarantees. Walking out of Sundance, that was kind of the first thing I realized. It's like, wow, there's no guarantees. We need to work hard, and you know, we need to continue to promote the film. And but it is, you know, it is amazing. It's all unexpected. It's all unbelievable, really, to have these experiences. You know, we're walking into that festival as just absolutely nobody. You know, we're from Pittsburgh. We haven't really done anything significant. So it's all been really amazing.
That's Steve Hoover. He is the writer and director of the film Blood Brother, documenting one man's journey from Pittsburgh to India to work with children as a volunteer at an HIV/AIDS orphanage. We've also been talking with Danny Yord. He is the producer of the film, both joining us in Studio A. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Good luck with the film.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And a reminder that Blood Brother is showing this Saturday as part of the Three Rivers Film Festival at the Regent Square Theater in Pittsburgh. 4:30 is when it will hit the screens. Coming up, we will talk about how dogs are helping people learn to diagnose human diseases and environmental problems. That's next as Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA. Thank you.